You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I guess there's no accounting for what you might read from time to time in the op-ed pages of the New York Times. Here's one. How to make your marriage gayer. It's directed not toward same-sex marriage couples, but toward natural marriage couples, and actually makes the argument, or attempts to make the argument, that, what, we'd all be happier in our marriages if we all were more like same-sex couples? Joining us to discuss this op-ed piece in the New York Times, Glenn Stanton, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family and author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why Gaying Up Straight Marriages Would Make Them Worse, Not Better. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, welcome, Todd. It's good to be with you.
How does the author of this New York Times op-ed piece, How to Make Your Marriage Gayer, suggest we can improve our marriages?
Well, first of all, I mean, you just have to laugh at that. It's, to get better marriages, we need to make them more gay. And essentially what she says is, you know what, let's follow the model of the gay folks. And they're wonderful, and they're wonderful because they share all the duties. They are kinder to one another. They're more equitable. They're more engaged in child care and all those kinds of things. I mean, basically that the gays are, they do marriage better than all of us, and so let's follow their example. And the ridiculousness of that is, you know, marriage has been going on for millennia after millennial, and then it's gay marriage comes along and these people do it wonderfully. And, like, who believes that?
Who is Stephanie Kuntz, the author of the op-ed piece?
She is infamous in the world of family studies. I mean, she, for decades, has been the primary one prompting and promoting the idea of alternative families. She thinks, as I say in the piece, there's not an alternative family form that she has anything negative to say, and there's no traditional form that she has anything good to say about. I mean, that's her little niche market there, is being that gadfly for alternative families. And, you know, this is where she gets published, places in the New York Times and things like that, that want to take an alternate view of the family. And one, like this article, that's just founded in make-believe, really.
According to Kuntz, why are same-sex marriages happier? What's the main issue?
Well, this is what I say in the article. I mean, basically, is same-sex marriages are better because you don't have a man bossing around a woman. And she says that because she assumes that's what heterosexual marriages are like. And, you know, like you and your wonderful audience, I mean, they're primarily conservative religious folks, Christian folks. I'm here at Focus on the Family. And you know what? Nobody here and nobody in your audience is like a man bossing his wife around. You know what? Most of the men around here, they do help their wives with house care. You know, they do help their wives with watching the children. I mean, we do have quite equitable marriages that, for the most part, both are happy with, but they create this illusion that, like, oh no. And she says it. She says it in her article that, you know, it wasn't until recently that women were the property of men. And you're like, when was that? Women were never the property of men. And she even says, like, up until the 1970s, And so it's this, you know, fallacy of the straw man. I mean, basically, she creates this straw man of the patriarchal marriage, the patriarchal family. And thank goodness women in lesbian relationships don't have a man to boss around, and men in gay relationships don't have a woman to boss around. It's insane, really.
You point out that if Kuntz is correct, hetero men really should be happiest of all. Are they?
Well, yeah. I mean, if she's saying that men, heterosexual men, are the ones that get their way on everything and that everybody in the family has to obey them, you would think that they'd be the most happy. But no, she says, I mean, you know, generally within marriage, natural marriage, men and women are generally as happy as one another. In some ways, they show that the man is happier than the woman, but that is not because of the nature of the relationship. It is because men are pretty content with the way life is. You know what? Let me eat when I'm hungry. Let me sleep when I'm tired. And, you know, let me watch the ball game quietly. You know, women are, and this is good, they have higher expectations about life, about relationships, about their children, things like that. But what we find out is that gay men tend to be just about as happy as heterosexual men in relationships, and that lesbian women tend to be more happy than heterosexual women. Well, I make this point. If they really are happier in lesbian relationships, then why is it, and this is well documented, why is it that lesbian relationships break up at far higher rates than any other type of relationship, even heterosexual cohabiting relationships, which break up at tremendously high rates? I mean, you know, Kuntz can't have it both ways, that lesbians are so happy, but yes, their relationships break up at higher rates. And so I ask the question, do these ladies not believe or understand that they're so terribly happy? Maybe they need to read Kuntz's stuff. Or maybe they're in the habit of leaving happy relationships. No, it's you know, one is true, one is false. And it is just time and time and time again well documented, even by gay and lesbian scholars, that yes, lesbian relationships break up much higher than any other long-term relationship.
How does Kuntz attempt to explain the high breakup rate?
You know, it's interesting. A lot of, she doesn't really get into it. She just says that they do break up. But a lot of the lesbian scholars will recognize, and they try to put a good spin on it. They'll say, lesbians care so much about their relationship. They are so attentive to their relationship. They are so attentive to their children that they kind of sabotage their relationships by caring too much, by loving too much. Well, here's what the deal is. Women are more relationally intense than men are. And when you have a woman in a relationship with a man, you know, the man kind of balances things out. As one lesbian scholar said, this was a number of years ago, she said, and she admitted, when you have two women in the relationship who, quote unquote, feel like they need to talk about their relationship today, then no relationship can withstand that sort of emotional intensity. So that's it. I mean, there is a female nature, there is a male nature in relationships. And they manifest themselves in these relationships, and that's why lesbian relationships break up at such a high rate, because you have two people who feel like we need to, quote-unquote, work on our relationship or have very high expectations that cannot be met for their relationship.
What is the lesbian deathbed?
Well, that's the other thing that happens in lesbian relationships. And it's so funny. I was on a radio interview like yours one time, and the guy goes, wow, that sounds like a punk band. Lesbian bed death is something that is very common in lesbian relationships. And that's just simply where sex just dies, sexual intimacy. And again, women will, I mean, they can forego sex if they will get intimacy, if they can, you know, as long as they can cuddle here and there and have that sort of emotional intimacy, it's the two women, they're not likely to drive or move things towards sex. It's typically the man who, you know, will kind of drive that later on in a relationship. And that's why this is a phenomenon that lesbians came up with themselves, is lesbian bed death. Yes, in lesbian relationships, sex and sexual intimacy just dies out after a while.
You say that in the case of, largely in the case of gay men and gay marriage, we need to understand the gay sexual economy. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, and that's very important too. And again, this comes down to, regardless of how they want to move away from a male nature and a female nature, lesbians are affected by a female nature. Gay relationships are affected by a male nature, and that is, men are more sexually aggressive, they seek more diversity, and what we find out, that's the male economy, and they will seek more opportunistic sex, in the sense of they will be willing to engage with somebody sexually with very, very low commitment or very low knowledge of this person. Here's what happens in the majority, and the slight majority of gay male long-term relationships, is they have free passes for extracurricular activities. They work these things out. And I say this in the article. If you ask a long-term gay couple, are you guys monogamous? They will say, do you mean monogamous or faithful? And you're like, help me understand the difference. They say, well, the difference is very clear, which of course it's not. They say this, monogamy means we only have sex with each other. Faithful is we live by the terms of our relationship. And you're like, okay, well, what are those terms? Well, the terms, if we agree on them, we can have sex with other people. But we have rules, like you can't bring the other person back to our house. You can only do it when you're out of town, or you can't be emotionally attached to the individual. So gay males, they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want the long-term relationship, but they want sexual diversity. And so when two guys are negotiating it, it's like, yeah, you want it, I want it, so yeah, let's make that compromise. And even the most patriarchal man is smart enough not to say to his wife, honey, could I just pose an idea to you? You know, we just know, no, that's not how women are wired. And women's sexuality makes demands upon us as men that makes us better men. It keeps us at home. It keeps us concentrated on our family relationship rather than going out and seeking anonymous sexual liaisons.
So if it were, in fact, true, just in the case of a gay marriage as opposed to a lesbian marriage, if it were, in fact, true that the men in gay marriages are happier, perhaps the reason they're happier is because they essentially, most of them, have open marriages. They, as you say, get to have it both ways.
Well, I mean, yes, in that sense. And, you know, they get to have their cake and eat it too. But they are not necessarily happier, because gay relationships, male relationships, even married relationships, they break up at about twice the rate of heterosexual relationships. And so even this research that gay men are happier in their relationships is just false. I mean, here's the problem is when you ask heterosexual couples whether they are or not happy in their relationship, they're going to be more inclined to be honest because they have no reason not to be honest. But gay individuals, lesbian individuals, when they are engaged in these kinds of studies, they know the consequences of the outcome. They know the political importance of painting a good face on their relationships. So when they get asked, do you have a good relationship? Do you equally share these roles? Is your partner nice to you? They know that there is an important reason to kind of fudge the answers to say, oh yeah, we're just great. And that's why you get the data on, yes, the lesbians are happier, but on the objective measure, the measure that you can't cover over, do these relationships break up? that's why this data conflicts, because the breakup is an objective thing that happens. You can see it, you can't hide it, but the are you happy, that's a personal subjective thing, and they have every reason in the world, if you will, other than just being honest, to say, let's put a positive spin on these relationships, whether they be our adult relationships or our parenting relationships. We've got to make the case that these are great thumbs up, everything's groovy and cool kind of relationships for the political purposes.
And isn't kind of that particular flaw in same-sex marriage research evidenced by the fact that what is being reported seems kind of unrealistic, especially when compared to heterosexual marriages?
Well, no, absolutely it seems unrealistic. And in fact, there was research a number of years ago on gay parenting or lesbian parenting, and they said, yes, these families break up at a higher rate, but the children show no negative signs of impact. And so what that means is that basically lesbians are the new super family, that the kids do better, you know, according to this lesbian research. And when the families break up, the kids show no negative impact. I mean, like, okay, every kid should be brought up in a lesbian relationship, but we know that's just simply unrealistic. And here's the other point, Todd, and I mean, you know this very well, and I talk about it in the article, there is nobody, no mainstream scholar that is going to criticize the current literature that says anything positive about gay and lesbian relationships, because they've seen it happen to their peers. The gay activist movement will come down upon them like a ton of bricks. And they personally, in their own reputation, nor in their professional reputation, will ever recover from it. So we see this thing today of the chilling, if you will, of academic investigation that this issue, whether these relationships are good or not, or whether the parenting relationships are good or not, you can't investigate it and you can't criticize it if you have questions about the methodology. And your listeners, everybody needs to know that. That is absolutely the state of the case on the table right now.
Do you expect there to come a time when we can get some honest research and reporting about the state of affairs inside same-sex marriage?
Well, it's interesting. I use this analogy. In the early 70s, most professionals saw divorce as a good thing for the kids. Basically, if unhappy adults could leave unhappy marriages, they could enter happier marriages, they'd become happier adults and thus happier parents, and the kids would be great. Well, they started researching this stuff, and they found out that's absolutely not the case. Well, there wasn't a divorce lobby, if you will, that says you will not say anything negative against people of divorce. And so they were able to just report their findings. Yes, divorce is not a good thing for kids. But here we have this very small but powerful group that says you had better not say anything negative against us. And I don't see that changing. I don't see that changing, Todd, unfortunately, because those people are not going to go away, and those people are not going to realize, you know what, we ought to embrace academic freedom. We ought to embrace freedom of inquiry and for people to ask any question they want to about the research and about the methodology. These people are not going away, nor are their demands going to recede. It's only going to get worse.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He's author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why Gaying Up Straight Marriages Would Make Them Worse, Not Better. You can read his columns on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Glenn, thanks.
Hey, blessings, Todd.
Dr. Gene Edward Veith joins us after the break, part 6 of our series on a Lutheran response to post-Christian culture, politics part 2 with him. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Your sun-bleached felt church banners have seen better days. Held together with staples and superglue, they are a monument to Aunt Mabel's pastel-toned creativity from 1960. But it's time for a refresh. Ad Crucem has the solution that doesn't even need a Sharpie. We proudly offer Scapegoat Studios creations as well as Ad Crucem's original banners. Come and browse our wide selection of seasonal church banners. We also create banners and church signs to your design. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
See my Savior's hands. The title says it all.
Pastor Will Whedon, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, See My Savior's Hands.
In pictures and words, we follow Jesus' story by watching his hands, from childhood to his baptism, from his healings and miracles all the way to the cross, from his resurrection to his ascension. We'll see that his hands are always active at work to bring us blessing.
Learn more and purchase See My Savior's Hands, a book for children ages 4 through 7 at IssuesETC.org.
Learn and grow with us at Redeemer Lutheran Church, 7670 East Jomax Road, Scottsdale, Arizona. The gifts of Christ are received every Lord's Day in the 9 a.m. Divine Service. Confessional, Evangelical, Sacramental, Liturgical. Lutheranism the way it used to be. Lutheranism the way it can be once again. If you're in Scottsdale or in the Phoenix metro region, we'd love to have you visit. And please also visit our website, RedeemerScottsdale.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augustana Lutheran, Moscow, Idaho. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Winchester, Virginia. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Scarsdale, New York. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.